The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
34 minutes in, still scoreless in the France-Belgium game in the Euro Championships last 16 matter. But we're going to go to other French issues with Lara Marlow in Paris after yesterday's first round of the French general election, which has seen a big swing to the right. Lara, just for those who are not familiar with the voting mechanisms in France, why is it that there is a second round of elections next Sunday? And on what basis are they held and what difference will they make?
It makes all the difference. I mean, this is the system that was invented by General de Gaulle in 1958 with the idea that it would prevent shifting constantly coalitions and had a president who was hamstrung by parliament. It created a presidential regime. And the whole system is meant to exclude what exactly has happened, which is the coming to power of the extremes, of the two leading parties or coalitions in the election are Marine Le Pen's National Rally, which got a third of the vote, and Jean-Luc Mélenchon's, they're calling it the New Popular Front, but it's dominated by his France Unbowed party. And they got 28% to Marine Le Pen's one-third of the vote, 33%. They are both considered extremist, although to my mind, the Le Pen's party is far more extreme than the left. But there's no more center in France. I mean, Macron's party was decimated. He lost two-thirds, at least probably two, but the predictions are still a bit fudgy because, you know, we have to see what happens in the next round next Sunday.
Sorry, Lara, I just want to get clarity here. There's 577 seats in the National Assembly.
Correct.
So they're all individual elections as such. But nobody or very few people were elected, were they, yesterday on the first round?
No, actually, 76 people were elected yesterday, which is a record, never before. And that's because the participation was so high. I think almost all of them were incumbent candidates. But more than half of the 76 elected yesterday were from the Republican, the National Rally, the RN, Marine Le Pen's party. 39 of the 76 elected yesterday, including Le Pen herself, with 56%.
And is that because they got such a high vote in the first round? And is it then in the second round that a certain number of candidates are eliminated and people are asked to go vote again off a shorter list of potential holders of the seat?
Exactly. Exactly. You've understood a very complex system. The other thing that's very unusual about this election is that there are 305 three or four-way contests in the second round. You have to get at least 12.5% in the first round to make it onto the second round. So there are 305 of these contests, and there's, I think it's 199 two-way contests. So the whole all of the suspense about what happens next Sunday is, will the old, what they used to call the Republican Front, where all the other parties would band together to block the extreme right, will that function? And I can tell you already today, Matt, it looks very bad, because the presidential, so-called presidential majority, which is now a minority, is arguing with itself. And there are three different positions within the president's camp. One is, we must do absolutely everything to prevent the National Rally from taking power. Therefore, vote for anybody else other than them, including France Unbowed, including the far left. That's one position. Another position is neither nor. These people believe that the far left is just as bad as the far right. And then there are people, certainly all of this vast left-wing coalition, and some of the Macronist types, who say, we must, absolutely must prevent this. Therefore, vote for anybody else other than the National Rally. So they're divided three ways on what they're going to do. They're arguing about it. And the candidates have till 6 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, to decide whether they will stay on the ballot or not. So some of them have already said no, I'm standing down. I came in third, and I don't want the RN to win. I don't want the far right to win. So there have been a couple of government ministers. Actually, Clément Beaune, who was a former transport minister, he was eliminated in the first round anyway. One called Lescure, the outgoing industry minister, also says, you know, you just must stop the
okay.
RN. And Macron, as usual, is totally ambiguous.
But Lara, can I just clarify as well? We have here in Ireland, obviously, a president as well as having a Taoiseach. But the president is not quite an honorary role, but basically doesn't have executive functions, signs bills into law, can call the Council of State to meet in relation to legislation, but is not an executive position. How does it work in France? I mean, what powers does Macron have as president? Because we see him alongside our Taoiseach and other prime ministers at EU meetings. And how does he then work with the Prime Minister and the Parliament in the exercise of powers?
Well, in the system as it is supposed to work, as de Gaulle envisioned it, the President has a Parliament basically under his boot. And he is more or less all powerful. He's like, they call him the presidential monarch or the monarchical presidency. And, you know, he can rule by decree. He can just decide he wants, this has happened actually under Sarkozy, he wants a certain poem read every morning in schools and so on and so forth. And he nominates basically anyone he wants to any post he wants to. But if you have an opposition party which wins the majority in the National Assembly, which could happen next Sunday or maybe a hung parliament, which will be chaos, if that happens, you have what they call, the French call, cohabitation. And you probably remember Jacques Chirac. The last cohabitation was from 1997 to 2002, and it was pretty hard going. But at least the Prime Minister, Lionel Jospin, was full of goodwill, and he was, you know, a respectable man. And that government actually got a lot done. It was quite a good government. But Chirac was reduced to more or less a figurative role, and the president remains the commander in chief of the army and responsible for foreign policy. Except that within the last week, Marine Le Pen has been saying, "Well, no, actually, we have our bit to say about foreign policy and the army as well." And she even said, you know, Macron made the point that they're already jostling for power over after this
okay.
round, even though it hasn't happened.
And Laura, the last thing I want to ask you about is relevant to us here in Ireland. Where does this leave France within the European Union? I mean, could we even be heading towards Fraxit, a sort of a French version of Brexit, whereas France would break away from the European Union if it didn't agree with widespread policies, for example, and things like immigration, which is probably the main raison d'etre of the National Rally?
Well, Marine Le Pen used to want to leave the European Union, but she changed that in the last presidential campaign in 2022. I think a more likely result of it is the transformation of the EU. Because, you know, Viktor Orban of Hungary, who now has the rotating presidency of the EU, announced at the weekend that he wants what he calls a patriotic group. And he was thrilled that by the end of this year, he said, patriots, in quotation marks, and including Marine Le Pen and Donald Trump, in the US, would be in power in the Western world. And this so-called patriotic Europe is anti-Ukrainian, it's pro-Russian. I mean, the National Rally actually has a Russian agent, or she's Franco-Russian, but she's been stated by French intelligence to be a Russian agent as one of their advisors in the European Parliament. It would mean an end to aid to Ukraine coming from Europe. So I think the real danger is it would transform the European Union into something that a lot of us really would not like to see.
Thank you very much, Lara Marlow, for joining us from Paris.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.